You're listening to Real Paranormal Talk with Jeff Trelawitz, part of CKCC Radio. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Podbean. And now your host, Jeff Trelawitz.
And welcome back to Real Paranormal Talk here on CKCC Radio. As always, my name is Jeff. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today's date is April 23rd. I'm a couple days late again, as my motivation hasn't been that good lately, but here I am still, chucking along. So today, I want to tell you a story. I was not familiar with this story, and I'm kind of surprised that it's not more of a bigger deal. Now, if I said the name Frederick Valentich to you, do you know who he is? Of course not. And I paused just in case you wanted to answer it out loud. And I think this story really needed to be told. So let's meet Frederick Valentich, who was an Australian pilot. He was born in 1958, and he was last seen on October 21st, 1978. And I say last seen because, quite frankly, nobody knows what happened to him. All we know is the recording of his last transmission. Now, he was a pilot who was flying a Cessna 182L light aircraft over the Bass Strait over by Australia. He had plenty of flight training. He had logged over 200 hours prior to his disappearance. So obviously the man knew what he was doing. And the last thing that we heard from him was that something was close to him. He didn't know what it was at first. He said that he had messaged the Melbourne Air Traffic Control that he was being accompanied by an aircraft about 1,000 feet above him, which is about 300 meters, and that his engine had begun running roughly before finally reporting, "It's not an aircraft." Now, there were belated reports of a UFO sighting in Australia on the night of the disappearance. However, the Associated Press reported that the Department of Transport was skeptical about a UFO that was behind Valentich's disappearance, and that some of the officials speculated that Valentich became disoriented and saw his own lights reflected in the water or lights from a nearby island while flying upside down. Again, over 200 hours of flight experience, so he pretty much knew what he was doing. So yeah, let's just kind of break it down a little bit more. So he radioed Melbourne at about 7:06 to report an unidentified aircraft following him about 4,500 feet. He was told there was no traffic at that level. He said he could see a large unknown aircraft, which appeared to be illuminated by four bright landing lights. He was unable to confirm its type, but said it passed about 1,000 feet overhead and was moving at high speed. He then reported that the aircraft, whatever it was approaching him from the east, and said that the other pilot might be purposely toying with him. Valentich said the aircraft was orbiting above him and that it had a shiny metal surface and a green light on it. Now, I'm not 100% confident that I could identify a Cessna plane. I'm going to guess that Frederick Valentich could. So I'm immediately throwing out it was his own plane that he saw reflected because he was flying upside down. That's just ridiculous. That makes as much sense as a weather balloon. Valentich said the aircraft was orbiting above him and that it had a He further reported that he was experiencing engine problems. Asked to identify the aircraft, Valentich radioed, "Oh, it's not an aircraft." His transmission was then interrupted by unidentified noises described as metallic scraping sounds. Not flying upside down. Before all contact was lost. A sea and air search was undertaken that included ocean-going ship traffic, the RAAF Lockheed P-3 Orion aircraft, plus, not one, not two, not four, not six, eight civilian aircraft searched for his plane. The search encompassed over 1,000 square miles, and it ceased on October 25th, 1978, without a single piece of wreckage being found. Now, an investigation into his disappearance by the Australian Department of Transport was unable to determine the cause, but it was presumed fatal. Well, yeah. 5 years after his aircraft went missing, an engine cowl flap was found washed ashore near Flinders Island. Everyone's familiar with Flinders Island, right? I can see you nodding. I know it. In July 1983, the Bureau of Air Safety Investigation asked the Royal Australian Navy Research Laboratory, better known as the RANRL, about the likelihood that the cowl flap might have been traveled to its ultimate position from the region where the airplane disappeared. The Bureau noted that the part has been identified as having come from a Cessna 182 aircraft between a certain range of serial numbers, which included Valentic's flight. So they're saying, yeah, it could have been his, but they're not saying 100% sure. As if that wasn't enough, there's been quite a lot of speculation about what happened to him, and some of it makes sense. Some of it might as well be Oscar Mayer, because it's straight up baloney. So here are a couple different thoughts. So here we go. It has been proposed that Valentich staged his own disappearance, even taking into account a trip of between 30 and 45 minutes to Cape Otway. The single-engine Cessna still had enough fuel to fly about 500 more miles, despite ideal conditions. At no time was an aircraft plotted on radar, casting doubt to whether it was even near Cape Otway. And Melbourne police received reports of a light aircraft making a mysterious landing not far from Cape Otway at the same time as his disappearance. Could be. He just maybe had enough. Another proposed explanation is that Valentich became disoriented while flying upside down. However, the lights he thought he saw would have been his own aircraft's lights reflected in the water. He would have then had crashed into the water. But the model Cessna he was piloting could not have flown inverted for long, as it has a gravity feed fuel system, meaning that his engine would have cut out very quickly. Yet another proposed possibility was suicide. Again, possible. However, interviews with doctors and colleagues who knew him virtually eliminated that possibility, which is always good. And then there was the transcripts on the radio and other data by astronomer and retired U.S. Air Force pilot James MacArthur and author Joe Nickel proposed that the inexperienced Valentich, over 200 hours flying, doesn't sound that inexperienced to me. He was deceived by the illusion of a tilted horizon, for which he attempted to compensate and inadvertently put his aircraft into a downward so-called graveyard spiral. That doesn't sound good. Which initially mistook for simply orbiting of the aircraft. According to the authors, the g-forces of a tightening spiral would decrease the fuel flow, resulting in the rough idling reported by Valentich. Magaha and Nickel also proposed that the apparently stationary overhead light that Valentich reported were probably the planets Venus, Mars, and Mercury. I know that radio silence and podcast silence is not good, but that just... No. Stop blaming planets. So yeah, I don't know. UFO experts have speculated that a UFO either destroyed his aircraft or abducted him, asserting that some individuals were reported seeing an erratically moving green light in the sky, and that he was in a steep dive at the time. UFOologists believe that these accounts are significant because of the green light mentioned in Valentich's radio transmissions. According to UFO writer Jerome Clark, Ground Saucer Watch argued that they showed a bona fide unknown flying object of moderate dimensions, apparently surrounded by a cloud-like vapor exhaust residue, although pictures of that day were not clear enough to identify the object. So we don't really know. Could it have been, you know, him faking it and starting a new life? Yeah. Could it have been suicide? Hopefully not. I'm not going to say it was aliens, but it was aliens. Dude got straight up abducted. And that's just, you know, not cool. Now, speaking of UFOs, I love John Oliver in Last Week Tonight. This past Sunday, his main story was about UFOs. So I'm glad I waited until I saw the whole thing, and it was very funny. If you have Max, I highly recommend checking it out. If you don't, and by Max, I mean HBO, formerly HBO Max, now currently just Max, which is not connected to Cinemax, but I don't know. If you don't have it, he puts the whole thing up on YouTube. I highly recommend it. It is hysterical and accurate. And he doesn't necessarily, you know, and the Frederick Valentich story has nothing to do with it. It just so happened to be well-timed. And yeah, I highly recommend checking it out and letting me know what you thought of it. All right, so that is going to wrap up this edition of Real Paranormal Talk here on CKCC Radio. Keep your eyes in the skies. And again, to quote Dave Schrader, a brilliant ghost hunter in his own right, why be normal when you can be paranormal? Hell yeah! I love that statement. All right, have a good one, everybody. Take it easy.